Good morning, everyone. Let's get out, y'all all in here. We are going, we got a good one today. I was reading the notes this morning and I was like, we're going to talk about leaving food behind when we don't want to. If there is no better way to kick off February, I don't know what is. So this month, if you are newer to NoBS, welcome. This month we're going to, so if you're brand new to NoBS, you always come in. First thing you do is you take the NoBS weight loss course. And if you have been here a long time and you think like, well, I'm an elder, I'm stuck. I just coached somebody in Queens Club yesterday about the idea of being stuck. And she legit is not stuck. She was misarticulating her problem. She's like, well, I've been losing and gaining the same 2 pounds for 6 months. And I was like, well, tell me what your stats are showing. And she was like, well, I'm overeating at least once a day, every day. And I was like, so you're not stuck. What you're doing is you're asking me, how do you lose weight overeating? Can you teach me that? I was like, let's not lie to ourselves. Let's just tell the truth. I'm overeating once a day and I'm pissed that that doesn't equal weight loss. That would be more of the accurate truth instead of, well, I'm just stuck. Like something's happening to me. There's this like anomaly out there. And so we talked about that yesterday. So if you're an elder, here's what I always suggest. If you notice that you are stuck at all, like if you think you are, the first thing that I would do is do not think for a moment that you need deep cuts training. There's got to be secrets of the unknown. Remember back in the day, like Time, I think it was those Time books, and it was like secrets of the unknown. There's no secrets of the unknown in weight loss. Zero. There are four fucking basics. And this is what I always notice. Whenever someone swears to God to me, that is like, ah, I'm stuck. And I'm like, tell me your stats. They always give me all of their overeats. And they're just mystified that they're not losing weight. Not one fucking time did I promise anybody before they joined NoBS that here's the promise. I'm going to teach you how to lose weight while you're emotionally eating. Oh, I'm going to teach you how to lose weight and be an overeater. Like nowhere did those words come out my mouth. What I did tell you is that I would teach you how to overcome overeating. So for a lot of you who've been around for a long time, and this is important for today's class. So don't be thinking that I'm not talking about what I'm supposed to be talking about. For a lot of you that have been around for a long time, you're going to find there are going to be times when your weight loss slows down. And you got to decide how you're going to think about it. Most of you think, oh, this is where the hard part starts, or I just knew it. This is where I'm going to have to restrict and stuff. No, everybody hits points in their weight loss where it slows down for a couple of reasons. Number one, sometimes it's just your body adjusting, and you just need to learn the fifth basic, which is called patience. Patience, young grasshopper. Sometimes you're going to have like a week or two, maybe even three, where the scale doesn't move much. But if you are adhering to your basics, and I mean like legit adhering to your basics, you will see the scale move. The other thing, though, that most typically happens is you get to a point to where the things that you could hang on to some emotional overeats. For example, the person that I was coaching yesterday, and God love her. She has no idea. I was going to use her as an example today, but I was so glad she got coached because it was so helpful. If you want to hear that call, it's the Queens Club call from February or January 31st. It will release in the replays on Friday. Okay. One of her overeats is she's like, well, when I go out to eat with my friends, I eat a lot. Like I'm just eating and carousing and having a good time. Here's what a lot of you do. It's going to be hard to get off my stall. And see, I knew it. I'm not going to be able to go out with my friends. Bitch, that's ridiculous. You can go out with your friends. We're just going to now go out to eat with our friends and not overeat. That's called the next thing you got to learn how to do. You may have been able to lose weight up until this point, going out to eat and losing weight. Guess what? Now you can't. You're at that is a maintenance for you now. If you want to hang on to this version of overeating, if you want to hang on to this version of eating past enough, whatever your flavor is, guess what, y'all? Then this is the weight you've earned. And then you just got to decide, is this overeating worth the body and scale that I have right now? If it's not, you got to find the next bunches of overeating that's happening. And then you go to work on those. Just like when you started and you found the first crop of overeating that you were willing to work on. That's what it takes. The reason why weight loss gets harder when you get closer to goal is because it is an invitation to let go of the last little bits of overeating that you hang on to for stress, poor self-esteem. Like, you're running up against those things. But let me just tell you, you can either think that that's the hard part or that you have finally gotten to the part that's going to blow your life wide open. You've finally gotten to the part of your weight loss journey where you're going to be able to go out with friends and no longer need to overeat to have fun. Now you're getting to the part where it's like, shit, I've been hanging on to eating at 8 o'clock every night because I feel bad about myself and I don't ever get any breaks. And when I take my first break of the day, all I do is ruminate about what I don't like about my life. Guess what? Those last 10 to 15 pounds are going to be earned by you creating the life you want, by facing the reality instead of eating each night to not face the reality. You're going to earn those last 10 to 15 pounds by learning how to actually start getting help without feeling guilty, whatever it's going to take for you. That's why that stuff's hard, because we are doing things against ourselves. It is those last few things that are the hardest to let go of. It's not about the food. It's the last few things you got to let go of that you're using food to cope with your life, to make life a little easier. And that's really important for all of you. And that's why today I want to talk to you about how are you going to leave some bites behind in the month of February in those moments that you won't want to. Because here's what I promise all of you. You're not going to want to leave bites behind at first. Then you will. And then you're going to become an elder. You're going to be here 6 months. You're going to be here a year. Some of y'all are in the 2 and 3 year mark. And guess what? You think you shouldn't have to leave bites behind anymore, but I'm doing so much better. I used to eat like this. And now I just sit in eternal frustration that I'm not losing. And it's because you have things you don't want to do. And we got to figure out, why do you not want to do it? What is it that you think about that stuff? So this month in February, if you're brand new, I just want you to get through the No BS Weight Loss course. If you're attending this call live, you're listening to a replay, that's awesome. Just know it's not required. What is ultimately required that I want you to do is always go through No BS Weight Loss. If you've been here for a long time, and it's been a minute since you listened to the course, and you're wondering why just listening to calls isn't helping, like you're entertained, you love the community and stuff, but you're like, I just don't see any weight loss happening, I would redo No BS immediately. People ask me all the time, why are you such a good coach? And you can ask any of my coaches. I outstudy and outwork every coach I know. There is no one I know, like in my, where I got certified, they have told me that I have listened to the original content more than anyone. Every 3 months, I go back to the foundations of what my teacher teaches about coaching so I can hear it through this lens so that I never am getting so far away from the basics that I forget to do the basics of coaching. That applies to all of you. There's probably no one in the world that reads more books, who listens to more podcasts, and takes more courses. This morning, I have already listened to 2.5 hours of personal development while I exercised, while I straightened my hair, while I was in the shower, while I ate breakfast, while I took a poop. All the things that I was doing this morning, these ears were filled with bettering myself. You know what they weren't filled with? The news and my shitty ass thoughts. No one is above the basics. No one. Even me, if I notice my weight's creeping up, do you know what I don't do? I don't go find hard things to do. I ask myself, did you make a plan today? Oh, wait, I have been forgetting to make a plan. Maybe I should think about my food ahead of time. Are you following the plans that you made? If I'm not, I start digging into why. Why am I eating off plan? What sounds better in those moments? Why don't I want to do it? What's going on there for me? What's going on in my life to where I think food needs to create the fun because maybe I'm not having fun in my life? So maybe I should work on my life instead of eating to have fun. Am I drinking my water? I can't tell you how many times my weight creeps up a few pounds and I notice I'm just dehydrated. I've been dehydrated a couple of weeks. Now my body has to hang on to every ounce of food I put into it because it thinks it's not going to get flushed out. So drink water. If you're on a stall, try getting a gallon of water a day in for 3 weeks. I was talking to someone, I don't even remember who it was, but I was talking to another human the other day. It's amazing when there's a day that I'm actually, and it was like a human and my actual presence. And so we were talking about how she has a doctor friend. And she said, it's my friend Shanna. She said, yeah, my doctor friend, every single person that comes in, she said, he thinks that 90% of everything that's wrong with us can be tied back to dehydration, that most people are never getting enough water. And he says, no matter what somebody comes in with, I always tell them, I want you to go home and I want you to drink half your body weight in water. And then I just want you to call my office back in a week and let me know how you're feeling. And he said that the vast majority, like at least 50% or more people will come in and say that either their pain drastically reduced and they don't need a pill, whatever was going on is now gone or better, but they're always making some significant improvement. Now, it ain't like it's going to cure cancer or something, but a lot of us are sitting around with achy joints and we're not drinking enough water to give our body natural lubrication to take our achy joints down by 30%. I get on my mom all the time about water. She's got severe arthritis. She's got to have a total shoulder replacement. She needs to have both feet replaced. My mother has the joints of like a 100-year-old. And I tell her all the time, you can't afford not to drink your water. And whenever she's well hydrated, it ain't like she's going to go run a marathon, but she can get out of bed without it being excruciating. So y'all, go back to the basics before you try to find some, you know, special fuckery that you need to do. There's no one who's above them. Now, the good news is that in April, so we just updated in October, modules 1 and 2. If it's been a minute since you listened, you might want to listen to them. In April, we are releasing the brand new urges, and we're switching module 4 over to, it's going to be all about becoming future you starting right now. It is phenomenal stuff. I am so excited. I'm recording all of it for you tomorrow, and then it will release in April. It takes us time to turn things around. So We are going to do some very special things in April around it. We're going to do something with these two modules and all of you throughout the entire month that we have never done before. And I'm just going to let you sit there and imagine what it could be. All right. So let's talk about, how do you leave bites behind when you don't want to? So this is to kick off Doable Hunger Challenge Month. And one of the things that we're doing in Doable Hunger Challenge Month, so if you're brand new, you don't have to participate in this, but if you want to, you can. You're going to get valuable information, or you just stick with the No BS Weight Loss course. We're kicking it off. And if you go over to the monthly weight loss challenges on No BS Business Women or NoBSWomen.com, you're going to see that we've given you some worksheets. We've got some fun downloads for your phone. We have all kinds of things happening throughout the month that are going to help you really find hunger and enough cues. So we're going to spend a little time on hunger, and we're going to spend a little time on enough, on really figuring out, when am I hungry and when am I having enough? Knowing those cues is everything. And I just think that if you want to see some weight loss, it's like last month we got really good at setting a goal and getting started. This month, I want you to get amped up about, whoop, if I do everything that they tell me to this month, I will probably lose anywhere from 2 to 8 pounds. Just by getting better and more attuned at listening for cues. So, one of the things is we want to make sure that we understand that when you don't want to leave food behind, number one, that is a thought. It's not a fact. A lot of you confuse this idea of, but every night at dinner, let's say that we're going to leave bites behind at dinner, and every night you don't want to, you might mistakenly think, well, it's just a fact. Every night I don't want to. The only fact we have is every night you have dinner and you have the option to leave some food behind. And the thought is, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to in the moment. That's your observation. And we have to really understand that this is not a fact, that this is just something you keep thinking, because we have to learn how in that moment, when that thought comes in every single night, how we're going to think alongside it. A lot of you get really stuck and just like, but my brain keeps saying. So the fuck what? That's called good news. If you know your brain is going to say it every night, stop acting like it's a problem. You ain't caught off guard. It's not like you can't hear it. That'd be like, I just keep noticing that my neighbor walks into my house unannounced every night, sits his ass down at dinner and eats my food. Would you ever just be like, Corinne, I'm going to need coaching. I don't know what to do about that. I mean, every night he comes in the door. It would be an observation. You're doing the same thing with your own fucking brain. Old shitty walks in the front door every night, has a seat at the table with you, and you're just like, well, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. You got to have a conversation with those automatic thoughts. So everybody, number one is, it's good if you know you do this. You have to stop thinking it's bad if I do this. You are going to want to eat all the food on your plate. You are not going to want to leave food behind, and you're going to have really good reasons as to why you think this. Good. But if we don't want to be the person who keeps eating and not losing weight, we have to say, like, that's all going to happen. And here is what I'm going to do about it. Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm willing to feel. The first few days, I'm willing for it to be like, this sucks. I really would like to finish that. Yep, I really would like to finish that. But I'm not going to. Here's what I never want y'all to ask me ever again, which you will, and I'll keep coaching you on it, but here's what I would love if I could wave my magic wand and nobody'd ever ask me again. How do I sit down to leave bites behind and it not be a problem and it be simple? It's just easy. The only way that's ever going to happen is to have about 100 times where it's not simple and easy, where you don't like it, you do it anyway, where your brain says, I don't want to. And you're like, yep, I knew I would think that, but we're going to do it anyway, because one day I want this to be easy, because one day I do want to sit down and eat my meal and not really have to think about it. So that means me today has to go through this. It would be like if your child walked up to you and said, hey, I know I'm just like 18 months. I'd like to skip the part where I fall down, and I'd like to skip the part where I toddle and look foolish trying to walk. I want to walk like a big human. I see you all do that. Can you just tell me how to skip the part where it's hard? You would look at that toddler and be like, buck up, buttercup. You're in for some stumbling. That's just not how it works. You got to do the same with you. When you're first learning how to do something that you haven't been doing, you got to stumble around. You got to toddle. You got to not know if it's going to work. You got to think it's not good enough. You got to be wondering if you're going to be able to do it again. You're probably going to think you got lucky if you were able to get through it. You're going to do all of that. And then every day, it's just going to get a little easier. But I mean, a little easier. And then one day it's just easy and you don't even know when it became easy. So let's go into three reasons that I can give you about, like, here's what to do when you don't want to. Number one, you got to know why that you don't want to leave the bites behind to begin with. This is really important because we always have to confront our reasons, especially if I don't want to feels very true. Like you're just like, it's just true that I don't want to. It's like, okay, then we need to understand why that not wanting to feels more compelling and true than I think I don't want to, but I know what I really want, which is weight loss. Why doesn't that feel more true to you? And it's usually because you have reasons running underneath. So one of the first ones is like, I don't want to waste food. I have lots of videos on talking about wasting food. But the bottom line is this: a lot of us have been raised growing up cleaning our plate. We have been told by adults in the world that it's wasteful not to eat everything that you're served. We're even taught that it's rude. Like, how many times have some of us have even done it with our own kids? We'll be like, now finish what's on your plate. We don't want to be rude. We don't want to offend the chef, offend the cook, by not eating everything on our plate. A lot of us grew up around all that stuff. All, like, that is not for us to bitch, moan, and whine. If you're going to spend time going like, if my mother hadn't taught me that, I can't lose weight because I was raised around food and waste. Stop doing that. It's not helpful. You got taught that. You got a fact. You can either feel sorry for yourself and keep eating every night, or you can just be like, yeah, I'm so glad that I know I was taught that. That means I get to choose. I'm a fucking adult now. Guess what I can do? I can form my own opinions around what's right and what's wrong around food. Hallelujah. So you get one or two options of which one you want to decide. I would take the path of being a grown-ass woman who was like, you know what I don't do anymore? I don't sit around and blame my past for how I'm showing up with a hamburger today. Just think about how dramatic we get. It's like, I got me some chicken tenders and I'm going to sit here and finish them and be mad that my mama 40 years ago told me to clean my plate. It is ridiculous. Y'all always giggle and stuff when I say stuff like that. It's like, that sounds so ridiculous. It's like, yeah. So when your brain's doing it, tell your brain, we're not being ridiculous today. Guess what we're doing today? It's hashtag grown up woman day. Here we are. We're just going to leave chicken tenders behind because we make the rules up about what's wasteful and what's not. Now, the other thing I want to say about this, it's really important for those of you who are like locked in on wasting food. I feel you. Like, I legit feel your pain on this. Even today, like, y'all, I preach this, I teach this, I journal on this, I do all the things around this. Sunday, when that refrigerator has week-old food in it, every Sunday I'm sitting there thinking, I need to eat up this old food. Well, I don't want that to go to waste. Even if I'm not going to enjoy it, even if it's going to be borderline, literally borderline old shitty, I'll still go through that. I still, when I go out to eat, want to finish the plate because I remember us being so broke that it really felt life-threatening to leave food on the plate. But I don't. And it's because of this. I always remind myself, the ultimate wastes are twofold. Number one, it's so wasteful for me to take years off my life so that I can eat the $1.50 that might get thrown away. I always remind myself, there's going to be a day where I'm on my deathbed and I will wish for more minutes. I will wish for more days. I will never think, thank God I got my money's worth every time I ate. I promise none of you are going to go out saying that. Here lies Corinne. She really got her money's worth out of everything she ate. No, I want it to be here lies Corinne. She lived a long fucking time because she quit doing that shit. That's what I want. The second thing is you don't know how to order or buy less food until you stop overeating. Otherwise, every time you get your money's worth and you eat all the things, you don't know how to adjust your shopping. You don't know how to adjust the stuff. Just like with me on Sundays, after a few Sundays of leaving some food behind, you know what it teaches me? Here are things I ask JJ to make me that I probably don't love if I've got extra. So like I'm eating something else during the week. Just like, for example, she made something last week. I didn't really love it. And I noticed that twice last week, I told Chris, I was like, why don't we just order karaoke, which is like a Chinese food restaurant that we love. And I love to get the octopus salad and brown rice. Don't ask me why I love that combo, but boy, I can stir that octopus salad up in some brown rice and just be in little hog heaven. I love octopus though. Like I like all the weird foods, y'all. I love the liver too. Don't forget that. But I was like, this is a recipe that's not going to work. Let me make sure that she takes it out of rotation. Some weeks, what I notice is if there's extra food, I tell her, you don't need to make me that many. Now she only makes me five because she knows they're like, especially when it comes to lunches, there's usually at least 2 days a week that I end up skipping lunch because I'm busy. Today will be one of them. Y'all, I've got you. I don't even have a break until 3:30 or 4 o'clock this afternoon on recording. There's no time to eat. So I ate before so that I could have a nice breakfast. I'm going to drink a ton of water and that will hold me until then. And then I'll just eat dinner. I don't like to make a, trust me, Corinne likes her lunch. She does not like making a practice of it, but there are just some days that everybody needs a video. Everybody needs a recording. I got classes to teach and that's okay. But because I started noticing like this is becoming a pattern. Instead of throwing away two things of food each week, I'm going to tell JJ, make me less. And that's why I keep frozen dinners now. I keep frozen dinners in the freezer. I keep my dry ass Weight Watchers pizzas. I keep things like yogurts and things so that if I, let's say today, one of my calls canceled and I wanted to have lunch, I could at least grab a pizza and some yogurt. So it helps you not be wasteful. It helps you clean up a lot of stuff when you stop the overeating. Next is that this won't be enough. This is another reason why we don't want to leave food behind. We're telling ourselves, like, if I leave a little bit of food behind, it probably won't be enough to lose weight. Bullshit. Here's what's not good enough to lose weight. Eating what's on your plate because you don't want to be wasteful. That's never going to equal weight loss. Nobody's ever told me You know, the secret to losing weight is eating everything on your plate. Said no one ever. But what does help is when you are doing little things and you're letting them add up. So for example, if you left 2 bites behind for 3 meals a day for this entire year, you would have over 2,000 bites of food left over. 2,000. Think about how much weight that is. Those are your easy wins, especially those of you who are on stalls and plateaus. You always want to make it so hard. Try leaving 2 bites behind at every meal for 30 straight days before you employ your restriction and deprivation, old school habits and tactics. See what happens when you make it easy and like a no-brainer at first. Another reason is we think it just tastes so good. I have a whole class I've done on It Tastes So Good. We can put a link to it here in the description for y'all. Lisa will go find it later. But there is a whole class on that. Y'all, we literally want to have the thought, it tastes so good. Do you know what it means when you think it tastes so good? You're actually going to lose weight eating foods you like. If you want to be able to eat the foods you like and lose weight, you also have to be able to appreciate your food is going to taste good. You need to tell yourself, of course it tastes good. I wouldn't have planned it if it didn't. I try to not to plan stuff that I hate. Good for me. So we have to like say, I knew that I would have this thought. One of the reasons why it tastes so good comes up for us and it feels so compelling to keep eating is because of old diets where you were told you can't have those on your diet. Yesterday, someone was in the Facebook group. She's brand new and she was talking about how she had had 5 chicken wings on plan. Now, she normally eats a dozen and she was just, there's no way I'm going to be able to lose weight like this. I know what Corinne says, but chicken wings are terrible. They're not nutritious and all this other stuff. Now notice, she's doing the plan as I state. Plan food you like. She likes chicken wings. She ate until she had enough, which is what I teach. But her brain freaked out. Her brain is like, but it tastes good. And it's like, that has to be wrong. When that thought comes up and it feels like it shouldn't, I want you to remind yourself, no, that's old diet trauma getting tapped on. In the past, I was taught food that tastes good is probably bad for me, that I probably shouldn't have it. And all I'm doing is triggering old diet trauma, which is good because now the way to get diet trauma to settle down is in the moment it tastes good, say, absolutely, it does taste good. I am so lucky that I get to plan foods that I love. I am so lucky that I'm on a plan that I never have to tell myself this is bad again. I'm so lucky that I'm on a plan that when something tastes good, I can always trust if I want it tomorrow, I can have it again. I never have to worry that I'm going to punish myself over food again. But you have to have that conversation with yourself because what's really going on underneath is it tastes so good is this. It tastes so good. And you know, this is going to stop you from losing weight. And you know, this is bad for you. And you know that this food is just junk. That's what's going on underneath. And that's why it feels so gross. But I want you to do the opposite. All right, number 2. So first, we have to know why we don't want to leave food behind. Next, once you know those thoughts, you've got to prepare for them. We've got to be able to narrate and neutralize. Now, narration is going to be something new that we're going to teach you in April. So I'm going to tell you just a little bit about it right now. Narrating is where we think about the things that we're automatically going to say. So it tastes so good. This won't be good enough. I don't want to waste food. Let's just take those 3. Narration goes like this. Oh, I knew I'd think that. And then you tell yourself what you are going to do. So it's like, I knew I'd think leaving a few bites behind was not going to be good enough. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm doing it anyway, because I have decided this is worth trying. And I know that I will feel better tomorrow for if tried than I will if I don't do it at all. Otherwise, I just get to wake up tomorrow feeling like I did today, like it's impossible to lose weight. I don't want to do that to myself anymore. So narrating is where we're actually talking to the thought. The one I love the most is, I knew I wouldn't want to leave food behind. I knew it. And that's okay. That's what I'm working on. So it's actually good when my brain doesn't want to do something. That means I'm doing something that at some point I told myself, this is going to be a good idea. And I'm going to let my shitty brain feel bad right now, trusting that the logical side of my brain made a good choice for me. I always like to, if I'm really good at knowing what my habit brain says, my old shitty brain, what it says, if I'm really good at listening for it, and I know when it's going to come, I can always trust, even if my logical brain can't think in the moment, I can always be like, this is like old shitty. And I don't trust old shitty. I've already decided old shitty is just stuff I think. What I trust is decisions that I made when my logical brain was doing the thinking. I know my logical brain isn't trying to get me into trouble. Old shitty, he don't care about my dreams. He doesn't care about my hopes. He doesn't care about my wishes. He just cares about what's in front of me right now. So you can always do that. So when we narrate, we're like, I knew I would think that. I knew I wouldn't want to. And you know it because you're smart. Because you're thinking about these things. You're doing weight loss different this time. And then you just neutralize and say, like, the only thing's going on is there's two bites of chicken tenders left. It's not wasteful. It's not that they're not good enough. I'm just looking at two bites of food. It's a decision point. We're leaving them behind or not. I can trust what I decided to do with my logical brain, or I can just eat them knowing that it probably wasn't what I wanted. It's probably not what I'm going to want long term. The last thing that you need to do, well, there's actually two more steps. So we got to know a reason why. We're going to narrate. I knew this thought would come. I knew I would think that. I knew I would want to eat. Set up your environment to make leaving bites behind easier. So one of the things that you can do is we gave you a screensaver for this month's monthly challenge. You can download it onto your phone so that it can remind you to leave bites behind. One of the easiest things to do is, like, don't rely on yourself to remember to leave bites behind. Put something on your phone that is a visual reminder, like, oh, for this entire month, I'm trying to leave bites behind. The next thing you do is you can put a sticky note in the places you normally eat that says, leave a little behind, leave a little behind. You can commit to doing this at easier meals. So let's say you're not ready to do it at three meals a day. Pick a meal or two that you don't mind doing it and just get into the habit and practice of doing it in those meals until you're ready to try it at some others. You can also, with your accountability group, y'all can take pictures of the food you leave behind. Y'all can have a thing where it's like every day we're all going to send each other pictures of food that we left behind to be like motivating and to kind of feel like you're doing it together. You can visualize ahead of time your meals. You can visualize you sitting there not wanting to do it. Don't visualize all of it being easy. Visualize reality. Visualize your favorite food sitting there staring you in the face, you wanting to finish, what it feels like. Then visualize the new conversation you're going to have with yourself. Visualize how you're going to talk to yourself, how you're going to put the plate away, how you're going to go into another room. Even if it's going to, like, if it's going to be on your mind for 30 minutes, visualize you doing something else while you let it be on your mind. Get out of your mind. then visualize yourself being like, huh, I did have enough. After a little bit, my brain quit asking for those two bites. And then visualize yourself being really proud of yourself. That's a real visualization. Most of y'all just visualize like, here I am sitting in bliss. The sun is coming through the window. I've got two bites behind and I'm like, I've had enough. Don't do that to yourself. Visualize reality. Visualize where you are today. Don't visualize where you want to be. If every day you visualize what it's like for you currently, you get better at handling your current status. And eventually it gets easier and you're visualizing it being easier and easier. Then one day you are visualizing yourself sitting there with the windows and the sun and the pushback and being like, I'm arrived. I don't even have to think about it anymore. Let's build our way there. All right. You can also use that freezer bag technique that a lot of us do, where we get a gallon freezer bag and every bite, you throw it in the bag, you throw that in the freezer. And at the end of the week, you look and you see like, shit, that's a lot of food. So many people do it and they always say that the freezer bag trick is such a game changer. They never realized how much food two bites left behind can be until they track that motherfucker and then they weigh it and they're like, oh my gosh, that is a lot of food. It's like skipping 2 to 3 meals a week by just leaving behind a couple of bites at every meal. That's amazing. All right. The last step is just reward the fuck out of yourself. Every time you do this, you have to remind yourself, awesome job. I'm so glad I did this. Do not do this. Thank God I got through that. I got lucky. I hope I can do it tomorrow. It probably won't last. You cannot do that. If you get a win and you end it with some scariness, you're going to train your brain to not want to win. If every time you win, the best thing that happens is you scaring the fuck out of yourself, telling yourself, you finally got lucky. It's not going to work long term. You know, this will never be good enough. Probably won't last. I bet you fuck up tomorrow. If that's all that happens, guess what? Your brain gets allergic to winning. It's like, well, I don't want to feel that. So let's not win. It equates winning with losing. Stop doing that to yourself. When you win, you got to win. You got to brag about it. Tell us in the Facebook group. Tell your accountability partners. Pat yourself on the back. If your brain wants to say you got lucky, say, bitch, there was no luck involved. You know what it was? A decision. It wasn't even an easy decision, but I made it. We got to talk to ourselves like a champ. Now, if my harsh ass ways of talking don't work for you, you can always do this version. Luck had nothing to do with it. I've been working really hard. I am beginning to be someone who is seeing that when she thinks through things, she wins. I know it's hard for me sometimes to admit when things are changing. I know sometimes I'm even scared to admit that I'm winning. But I'm going to do it anyway. So either version works. We just don't want to make winning scary or harsh. Otherwise, we won't want to win. And I need you to want to win in order to win. Okay, let's see if we have any questions. I did a body check at the gym and I'm not storing enough water according to the results. I'm drinking at least 80 ounces of water a day. And he said, I can't store enough water in my body because my body percentage fat is high. I need more muscles in to store more water. Do you know anything about this? You probably just need more water. Like 80 might not be enough for you. 80 is not enough for me. It's just not. I have to get at least a gallon a day. Like I've got to be like at that, you know, those liter bottles that we drink. I'm up to about 4 a day, which is more than a gallon. So if you sweat a lot, if you weigh more, and I carry a lot of muscle. So for me, because I do carry a lot of muscle, I need the extra water. So I would just bump it up, Marsha. That's all I would do. It's like, if you're doing 80, go for 90. Just add 10 more ounces a day and see if that helps. I'm struggling with confidence in myself that I will ever be a healthy weight. Any resources on how to build confidence and belief? Yes. Confidence is a feeling that comes from all of your thinking. So module 2 of No BS is all about thoughts, feelings, and doing, and the 4 N's. The only way to feel confident is to change how you think. Confidence in yourself means you change the perception of yourself, which means over time, you have to talk to yourself in new ways. There is a self-love course inside of No BS that you can take. So if you're done with the No BS weight loss program, what I would do is I would take module 2 one more time so that you really understand that if you want to feel confident, you have to work on the way you talk to yourself. That's the only way we're ever going to feel confident. So we have to notice all the moments where we're talking to ourselves in ways that aren't confident. And then we have to start flipping those scripts, changing those scripts. And you also, if you want to feel confident, another thing is when you do things that you think are like, all right, I know this is good, even if I talk to myself like a jerk about it. You have to start now every time you give yourself the gift of a result that you want. Like, I stopped at enough. I left 2 bites behind. I made a plan. I followed a plan, whatever it is. Every time you do it, you have to tell yourself, look, this is me. I'm on the right track. Look, this is the path to being a healthy weight long term. You have to tell yourself that over and over again. Otherwise, if you don't consciously tell yourself that, your brain will only tell you what it unconsciously thinks. And right now, if you're not confident that you'll ever be able to get to a healthy weight, here's what your brain thinks. Every time you see yourself do something that's positive, your brain is like, probably won't last. Yep, been there, done that before. That's going to be the automatic thoughts. The only way automatic thoughts ever change is to have non-automatic thoughts, deliberate, conscious. I'm doing this on purpose, saying this to myself, even if I don't believe it in the moment thoughts. Would you do leaving half? I have done the others, or an easy meal or a more challenging meal. I don't really understand the question. So let me just answer the way I think. Would you do the leaving half? So like the halftime method, which is for all of you, the halftime method is where you eat half your food, you sit, you wait a couple minutes, you decide, have I had enough? You listen for your body cues. I think we're doing that this month. I think that's going to be the third challenge this month is the halftime method. You can pick if you want to do it at an easy or a more challenging meal. Either way you do it, you learn something. If it's a more challenging meal, you're just probably going to get over some of your bullshit maybe a little faster. But I would much rather, if you feel like doing a challenging meal, you might not be able to like do it, then I would rather see you do it at a meal that might be easier so that you get used to doing it, you get some reps in, and then you can move up to more challenging meals. But there's no wrong way to do it. I'm losing very slow and steady, about 1 pound a month, which is great. So here's the thing, Melissa, if you think it's great, why would you ever call it very slow? Like, all of you do this. I don't see an upside to saying, like, qualifying. I just need to let everybody know I'm losing very slow, but it's okay. It's like, just be like, I'm losing 1 pound a month. I like it. That's the right pace for me. Say whatever you want to say, but y'all got to stop saying things like very slow. Even 1 pound a month is not very slow. You know what it is? Going down. Y'all get too caught up in trying to talk about whether it's fast or whether it's slow or whatever. Who gives a shit? You're in the right direction. If you want it to be faster, then you just do a few more things. But that doesn't make it better. I don't ever see an upside for any of you using that language. All right. I lost my initial weight a few years ago and made it to 167. I'm wondering if it's possible to actually get past 167. I don't know. But let's just have fun trying. You either will or you won't. Like, there's no way for me to know that. I don't know how tall you are. I don't know how old you are. I don't know your physical stuff. You probably don't even know. Like, forever, I thought I would never lay below 175. I would have like bet my soul on it years ago. And then one day I hit 174 and I was like, I was doing so good. I thought, I bet I can go further. Just have fun trying. That would be my best advice. How long do you recommend we collect data before we ask for coaching on the final number on the scale? I'm getting more honest and busy on the habit tracker, but I'm really not sure what my final number should be. I know you mentioned that when you began, you did not have a definite number in mind. No, I didn't. I didn't have a definite number for about the first 50, 75 pounds. You're on pound 14. Doesn't really matter. Feeling good, but want to be lighter still on my feet for joint health. Ultimately, I'm losing mental weight and I'm very grateful. Elaine, I think now's the time. If you want to do it, you can. If you're very interested in that, you've got, you know, I would say if you're already down 14 pounds, you got more than enough data. Now, if it was like day two of data, I'd say like, yeah, I want you to wait a little bit. But for all of you, my thing about, I want you to set goal weights, but you don't have to set a long-term one. Your goal weight can always change. You get to decide. I have coached people who have had goal weights where they increased it by 15 pounds. They always thought they wanted to weigh less until they got to a certain point. They're like, you know what? Like, I like my life. I like my eating. You've taught me how to love my body. I finally realized I don't need to weigh that weight to like myself anymore. And they let that go. Some people, they'll get to a certain weight. Like for me, I got to 175 thing and I'd just be tickled pink. And when I got to 175, I was loving the life I was creating. And I actually believed I could be any size I wanted to be. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go for 150. And I'd never called that shot before a day in my life. So there's really no right or wrong. It can change. The reason why I like setting some kind of a goal weight, whether that's my goal weight by the end of this week, this month, this quarter, this year, what at the end, whatever it is because it just helps you track like where you're headed. That's the main reason, but it's not the end all be all. Give me more techniques to remember to do what you say in the evening when I'm on autopilot during emotional exhausted. Post-it notes, what else? Set alarms on your phone to go off. When are you most exhausted? I'll tell you one, really, if you watch TV, put a post-it note on the remote. Whatever you eat at night, put a post-it note on that. Hide it so where you have to go scrambling for it like a squirrel or a raccoon in the night trying to figure out where your food is. Make all of those things harder to where it's not so automatic. Because the problem is when you're exhausted, you're in automatic zone. So now you got to make everything not like it has been. You got to change it up. And I change it up every week. So let's say that you eat a big ass bowl of cereal every night. Don't keep your cereal in the same spot. If you've been keeping it in the pantry, now it goes in those cabinets above the refrigerator. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not keeping the stepladder next to the fridge to make it easy to go get it either. That's going to be out in the cold ass garage. So if you really want that fucking cereal, you're going to have to work for it so that the whole time you're traipsing around looking for stuff, in order for you to find the stepladder and do everything, your logical brain has to come back online. It can't go get it. Automatically, it's having to think, which means that while your ass is like, I'm going to be a trash panda crawling up my little stepladder to get my cereal, you can think like, do I really want to be a trash panda? Is that what I want for myself tonight? Oh, here I am working real hard to get cereal instead of working really hard at sitting on my ass tired. Like, if you're emotionally exhausted at night, set up your environment to take care of you emotionally. Y'all got your environment set up so much to take care of you with food when you're emotionally tired. Now we want to make it like a fucking Tough Mudder, an obstacle course to take care of ourselves emotionally with food. Make all of the things to make take care of you emotionally easier to do. Have a conversation with somebody. Hey, I just want to let you know, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be fucking tired tonight. I tell Chris that all the time. Like today is like one of those days, like literally today is a super busy day. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to be podcasting with someone.
Right after that, I got a big ass meeting. Right after that, I'm teaching a 90-minute business workshop for the No BS business women. By the way, if you're not a No BS businesswoman and you got an online business, guess what you should be doing? You should be checking us out. If you think I'm on fire here, I'm on fire over there too. I'm just like a fucking burning inferno. So I got to teach them their 90-minute class today. Then I got some other shit to do. And Lord, I'm going out tonight at 5 o'clock. The hardest part of my day is going to be staying up till 5 to have dinner down the street. I already told Chris, I'm going to be taking my sleepies at 7 o'clock. I'm going to set an alarm on my phone because I know I'm going to want to be home because I'm going to bed early. Just letting you know. So it's important that we do the things we need to do for those moments when we're going to be tired. What is the Dolly picture behind you? I need it. That actually is a book that Coach Judith gave me. She gave it to me for Christmas 2 years ago. Why does our brain go into default when we do good and tell us it won't last, for example? Who cares? Because it just does. At some point in your random ass life, someone said, this is how we pick up that trait. At some point, you probably were raised by someone who was always worried something would go wrong. They were always waiting for the other shoe. My mother is the worst. She is pessimistic. I don't care if you gave her $1 million. She'd be like, well, I bet it's going to be a big tax bill. Just saying. Before she got excited about the money. So it doesn't really matter why. Just know that at some point, somebody probably modeled that to you. And it just makes sense. Most people are always hedging bets that something it has a lot to do with like our primal wiring. If you think about it, when we were running around, living in caves, you know, building little fire pits, doing shit, you needed to always be on alert that something could go wrong. Your life was dependent upon it. Now we're in the modern day age. We don't need that, but our brains are wired for like mortality. They're always concerned that we're going to die. And because we don't have real danger anymore, like y'all think about your life. When is the last time your life was at risk? Like most of us, like the closest, like my life hasn't been at risk, but the closest I've been to it is when Chris got diagnosed with cancer. He's all finished and done and everything with it now. But outside of that, unless you're playing in the street, jumping out of airplanes or something, we don't really have real danger anymore all the time. But our brains are going to create faux danger because the brain is wired to find danger. So it finds danger like this. Well, because there's nothing threatening in your life, here's what I know we should be afraid of. You know what you should be afraid of? That leaving two bites behind won't be enough. We should danger, danger, Will Robinson. That's why our brains do it. So don't overthink it. Don't care. You have the solution. Focus on the solution. The solution is you have a modern day brain. You know, cave women, they didn't know how to turn their logical brain on. It was like something you didn't want to use very often back in the day. We actually can. We're actually evolving to use more and more and more and more of our logical brain, but you got to use it. All right. Thank you, everyone. That was great. I think I see y'all this Sunday. I think my coaching is this Sunday. Let me make sure so I don't tell y'all some falsehood and lie to everybody. Yep. Weight loss coaching with Corinne. We're going to get busy on Sunday. 2 hours of coaching with me. Be ready. I'm probably going to be on fire. Talk to y'all later. Bye.